Bhagavad Gita is this second chapter entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized, text number 17. Apuryamanam achala pratistam. Samudramapa pravisanti yatva. Tadvat kamayam pravisanti sarve. Shasanti mabnuti na kama kami. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enters like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled, but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. Although the vast ocean is always filled with water, it is always, especially during the rainy season, being filled with much more water, but the ocean remains the same. Steady, it is not agitated, nor does it cross beyond the limit of its brink. That is also true of a person fixed in Krishna consciousness. As long as one has the material body, the demands of the body for sense gratification will continue. The devotee, however, is not disturbed by such desires because of his fullness. A Krishna conscious man is not in need of anything because the Lord fulfills all his material necessities. Therefore, he is like the ocean, always full in himself. Desires may come to him like the waters of the river that flow into the ocean, but he is steady in his activities, and he's not even slightly disturbed by desires for sense gratification. That is the proof of a Krishna conscious man, one who has lost all inclination for material sense gratification, although the desires are present, because he remains satisfied in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. He can remain steady, like the ocean, and therefore enjoy full peace. Others, however, who want to fulfill desires, even up to the limit of liberation, what to speak of material success, never attain peace. The fruitive workers, the salvationists, and also the yogis, who are after mystic powers, are all unhappy because of unfulfilled desires. But the person in Krishna consciousness is happy in the service of the Lord, and he has no desires to be fulfilled. In fact, he does not even desire liberation from the so-called material bondage. The devotees of Krishna have no material desires. Therefore, they are in perfect peace. So the fullness of devotional service comes from Kirtaniya Sadahari, to be always preoccupied in glorification of Krishna. It is there where the Vaishnava begins to overflow, as is described, that Sanatana Goswami was simply always glorifying Krishna, remembering Krishna, hearing about Krishna. And then his mouth would just overflow with Krishna Katha. It wasn't like he was thinking, what am I going to say now? I have to preach here today, and what topic shall I speak about? Maybe sometimes he thought like that, but there was no need to kind of prepare, write out the lecture before and then read it out. It was just flowing automatically, overflowing, because he was filled with thoughts of Krishna, filled with attachment to Krishna. And like that, he was automatically inspiring others about Krishna. In contrast to this ocean of fullness, we have puddles that form on the road in the rain, and then the next day there's a little bit left over, and then they're gone. So puddles of Krishna consciousness, due to some rain and then in the sun again evaporating and disappearing. How to deal with puddles of Krishna consciousness, which is mostly what we have. Moments of inspiration and it comes and then gone again. Like that. It is a matter of more chanting, more hearing. The problem is we chant too short. The kirtans are too short. The katha is not often enough. If we would be more absorbed in hearing and chanting, we would fill up more. Basically, we never fill the tank. We're like in South Africa, there's a lot of people who go like, put 10 rand in the tank. Why did you guys just fill it up? You know? I've never seen a country where they put like, you know, in Germany, 1 euro. Can he go to a petrol pump and put 1 euro? It's unthinkable. But in South Africa, to put 10 rand, it's very normal. It's very normal. And of course, you know, then every time it's on the edge of being empty, yeah? Because then it's not filling the tank. So, yes, we must fill it completely. Yeah? Fill it to the brim. And then shake the cup. Fill a little more. Krishna, 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 a little more. Mercy, mercy everywhere. Huh? That is really, then they'll never run out of fuel, never. That is important because the material energy is there. It will not go away, the material energy. The material energy will again and again produce some illusory attraction. But we know that it's false. Vaishnavas have transcendental knowledge, and because of transcendental knowledge, we can cut through the illusion and see that it's actually not real. Sometimes I make the point that one must, before losing material desires, one must lose faith in them. They may be there, but lose faith in them. Faith in the sense that these things will make me happy. Now if I buy, you know, the biggest of the biggest, the best of the best, I will be not happy. I know that I'll just be poor. No, I will still not be happy. I will still not be happy. This is the situation. No faith. So a Vaishnava doesn't have faith that material things will bring us real happiness. That doesn't mean that we want to live in horrible conditions. We can see, obviously, that some people, as they say, live below the poverty line. And whatever that is, it's not fun. When the rats at night eat your toes, that you may think it's a joke, but I have been in places where the rats were nibbling at the toes at night. Calcutta Temple. It was like you could sleep either in the temple room, and there were the cockroaches. Not one or two, but like thousands, or I don't know, maybe hundreds of thousands. And so the whole night, if you slept there, then the whole night you felt something. Whether it was there or not. That's also not peaceful, sleeping. Then one could try the veranda, but there was the main highway for the rats on the way to the kitchen. who would at times have a little snack on the way and nibble some toes. Somehow or other, rats like to eat the cows off the toes. It's a long affair. And of course, one night, one devotee woke up screaming when a rat was sitting on his chest. Well, that's when I went for the cockroaches. Anyway, later I had a mosquito net which helps against cockroaches. Not against rats. So we're not talking about suffering in the material world. We're not looking for suffering. But the idea that we're going to make the material world a perfect place, that's illusion. Only a materialist has that hope. That, well, so far, I only had bad luck. But actually, you know, I mean, I think I've got to figure it out. Took me 40 years, you know. I just seen the light, you know. I know how to do it now. No problem. I'll fix it up. And then, of course, when it works for a little while, just see, because Maya helps. Yes. Now you know how it works. All right. Let it work. Yes. See, it all works. Confirmed. I have it figured out. Yes. But then comes the... it is said... Bhoga... Krishna Bhaya Mukha. Mukhaya Bhogavan Chikara Nikitistamayata Jagatiyaya. Jagadananda Pandit has a verse where it says that if one has some flirtations with the material energy, not really serious, but just sort of a little, right? Then think like, well, I'll be careful. I won't go too far. I'm not really, you know. I'll just stretch the limits a little. We gotta be fanatic sometimes, you know. We gotta be human also. But then, but I'll be very careful that I won't fall down. Now, what it is, Maya is nearby and it says she slaps us down. Right? So it's just as you get to the edge, you know, she pushes over. Now, that's what Jagannanda Pandit is saying. So that's an interesting point. Right? So, but if one is full, full with service to Krishna, then nothing can interfere. And that is what Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing, devotional service. Somehow or other, always be engaged in devotional service all the time. Hearing and chanting, that is the basis. Because in hearing and chanting, we are directly meeting with Krishna. We can do so much devotional service, pushing around the material energy for Krishna. And that we can do, battle it out and try and get this done for Krishna. It's just like so much anxiety to be able to deal with all these things for Krishna. But then, no. Then just Krishna directly. It's relief. Right? Struggling with the material energy for Krishna can be very stressful. Organizing a Raja Yatra and collecting all the money and arranging all the things and getting the permits and so on. And it's like, and then the weather, because it's the cave. And all these things are, oh God, you know, yeah, everything is great. No rain, but you didn't calculate the wind. The canopy almost blows up. It's like, oh my God, Radha Yatra. Anyway, endless anxiety. And then no more throwing of fruits. Right? So was later the motto in the latest Radha Yatra I was in, which was a few days ago. No more throwing of fruits because people became injured. And then this time, someone. So they were only throwing candy, and someone got one in the eye. Suit you right. Jagannath's mercy. Anyway, so dealing indirectly with the material energy in service for Krishna is not always easy. That we all know. We know the material energy. There are these days that you wish you would have never gotten up. Days that you think, oh my God, no. And you know, it goes from one thing into the next. Yesterday I was breaking everything. Everything. Everything I touched broke yesterday. I put my towel on the rack in the bathroom and the whole thing came down. And it was just my towel. Everything. Huh? What else did I break? So many things.
The baby cutter.
What?
The baby door.
The baby door. these baby doors in front of the staircase. So, you know, I just picked it up and the whole thing is disintegrated. I guess I'm not a baby anymore. So yes, things break in the material world. There's no end to it. My point is that when we come to hearing about Krishna, then we can just deal with Krishna directly. This is spiritual. There is no anxiety. Krishna is present. But we still bring some anxiety because we bring the mind. And the mind is restless and the mind is thinking, okay. The mind is divided. I was looking at different quotes, and part of us is completely in the spiritual world, and the other part of us is somewhere out there and on a journey. It is like that. It's something like my dentist. My dentist, he has a video screen in the ceiling, and he shows videos of Prabhupada. So you're seeing Prabhupada, and at the same time, he's drilling your nose. Where are you? You know, like, there's a little bit in Vaikuntha, and of course a lot in hell. And well, ultimately, you know, I'm in hell. Even a video of Vaikuntha is not going to fool me. But there is this interesting experience, I tell you. You really feel like ripped in two. So the mind, even while hearing and chanting, may interfere. But still, dealing with Krishna directly is actually relief. That's the one thing. We just chant, uncomplicated, sankirtan. On the first day, Haldar already injured his hand. Only warming up, Haldar. So somehow or other we have to be absorbed in devotional service and give enough time for direct hearing and chanting. If we only deal with the material energy for Krishna, then in the beginning we may think, yes, this is nice, this is devotional service, but after some time we may experience it like a burden. I have to do all these things every time. It's just too much, too much. But when we are hearing and chanting, then we get fresh inspiration to do it again. Okay. So this is really what is the essence, you see. Because everyone experiences that sometimes the service is not exactly nectar. There are times that it's just like heavy. Not that hearing and chanting may not be austere also, but that is what fills us directly, immediately, directly. And it will, again, give us new motivation in devotional service. Also, we must really do something on all these special days. It's not that the Vaishnav calendar is just invented as a form of entertainment. But, well, you know, we don't have TV anymore, but we have Vaishnav calendar. You know, thank God. And today is a special day. So, okay, let's read the story, something to do. No, the Vaishnav calendar is actually essential because they offer us opportunity to do some special service. And in that special service, we can gain a lot of strength. A lot of strength. And then you have to do from time to time. Like, you know, if you make it a thing that on Jamastami, we read in this temple, we read the whole Krishna book. Yeah? We're going to read the Krishna book from morning till midnight. They're doing soft temples. Not, you know, there's things going on everywhere and maybe in some room to the side. But the bodies are there, they take turns and they read Krishna book. And it goes on till midnight. But if you do that every Janmashtami, yeah, every year, you'll see, you know, like, well, you get something from that. You really get something from that. Yeah. Even if you do 1 hour. Or, and then, you know, 1 hour of chanting in front of the deities, and, okay, well, Janmashtami. Okay, how early can we get up on Janmashtami? How early? 5 minutes before. Go from midnight to midnight. Janmashtami. No, it's like, don't miss a second of Janmashtami. Why sleep half of Janmashtami? I mean, the more we try such things, the more Janmashtami becomes meaningful. And there was one devotee in Vrindavan, he's, I think, for 6-7 years in a row, he had a vow that he would distribute 100 Gitas on Janmashtami. And he did it every year. And a table in the temple, it was really fired up, and then it was like 100 Gitas. So that was his service. And then he started 100 Gitas in 100 rounds every Janmashtami. Sure. And he did, you know, 100 Gitas in 100 rounds. That was serious.
Take a bump of the guitar, because I guess you get your heart high.
You gotta be practical. but anyway, you get the point. You know, you have to. If you make an endeavor, that is the point. Not from, okay, it's Janmashtami again, oh boy. Oh God. It's that day we're going to fast. See how long I last. Oh, God, Janmashtami. And then you have to stay up till midnight. You know, oh, will I ever last? And so on. No, we have to fill it up. And we have to really fill the time. So for the heart to be filled, like it's described in this verse, it's not like by some mystic magic, you know, I mean, how does it happen? How does the heart become so filled? No, no, we have to just fill our life. Fill it with Krishna more and more. Then automatically it comes. And then, yesterday I was reading all kinds of quotes of different personalities and one poet said, as we're getting older, we realize we're still children. Yeah. And I was thinking about it. And I woke up this morning and I was thinking, yeah, you're children. You're still a child. You never grow up as long as you want to play with the material energy. Then you will always be a child. Yeah. I was thinking, you'll never grow up. You just stay a child. As long as you want to play with the material energy. And as soon as you say, forget it, you know, I mean, this is foolishness. This is a waste of time. Yeah. I mean, if we see what children are doing, they're cute, they're nice, nothing wrong with them, but it is a waste of time. The children are the biggest time wasters in the universe. Yeah? They do all kinds of things. My God, nonsense things. Yeah? Ridiculous things. What a waste of energy. Yeah? I mean, sometimes you look at a kid and you think, if I would have the energy that that kid has, what could I not do? Endlessly running up, running down, running up, running down, running up, running down, for nothing. The biggest time wasters. So, playing is in a way wasting time. Building sandcastles is wasting time. Yeah, so playing with the material energy, wasting time, getting rich, richy rich, and then getting poor poor. And it's like, it goes like that. What goes up must come down. So it's a waste of time. trying to manipulate the material energy for, whether it is the body or not, that whether we are playing with other objects, try to enjoy them, or whether we are trying to enjoy it through our body and play with the material body through sexual activities, then we play with the bodies. It's playing with the material energy. So it's a waste of time. It's childish, actually, is it? So when one becomes mature one day, then we just stop playing and we just spend all our time in serving Krishna. Then we become full. But these childish tendencies are very deep in us. The child comes out of him, a little toy. I bet three. Like that, you know. Always toys, things to play with. And that takes away. As we play with the material energy, it creates an attachment in our heart. And that attachment creates an empty spot in our heart. So there's like, okay, I said iPad 3, attachment to iPad 3 in the heart. A hole in the heart. Okay? Attachment to what?
Car.
Okay, car. Another big hole. Cat. Another hole in the heart. So all these things, listed all, it just creates emptiness, actually. Funny how all these material attachments, they create a space where Krishna doesn't enter. And then and the more material things are there, the more our heart becomes occupied by material attachments, so many things, thousands, millions of material attachments, the more empty we will feel. And the more we just get rid of it and just go for Krishna, the more our heart will fill up. And the more service we do for Krishna, the more. It's as simple as that. That's the trick, actually. It's not about a technique, right? Where you think, like, okay, you know, I mean, I've got to get more fired up. I mean, really, really, like, you know, I'm like, it's like, I'm into a Java retreat now. I'm newborn. The old Kadama Kandas form is dead. You think you're seeing him. You know, the same one you saw last time. Wrong. He has reincarnated. New ball, and new born Hare Krishna. I'll start it. It's like difficult. It's difficult to just say, now I'm going to be fired up, now I'm going to be Krishna conscious, now I'm going to be totally full of like attachment to Krishna, I'm going to be attached to Krishna, I'm attached to Hare Krishna. Krishna, only attached to Krishna, to nothing else, material energy. Then one day, and today I'm going to eat the microphone. The mind just snaps one day if we go that route. So now it is a matter of actually doing service. And in that, chanting. And yes, you know, like, attentive chanting is very important. I think you all have heard it many times, dear devotees. And, you know, it is very serious. We must chant attentively. It is an offense in the matter of chanting the holy name. The root cause of all offenses. All right. Let's punish ourselves for all the inattentive chanting we do. Daily. Oh, I chanted so bad. Oh, I've chanted such horrible amounts. Oh, I'm so terrible. I'm so fallen. I'm so sinful. We can punish ourselves more. We can punish ourselves for all the sinful thoughts. Oh, I thought of some sinful activity. I'm so fallen. I'm so fallen. I'm so fallen. No, that's also not our process. Our process is just get busy. Get busy in service. Okay, keep on chanting. Try, but no need to punish ourselves for every failure. Tamal Krishnamurti made a nice statement. He said that falling down is not the sin. Staying down, that is the sin. To fall down, all right, that can happen. But then you have to get back up. But when you stay down, that is the sin.
That was interesting.
That was a deep realization. So, all right. It's difficult to chant so nicely. But we'll try to chant. Not with total stress, just chant. Yeah? Just chant. Satsarupa Maharaj spent a lot of time on chanting and on trying to correct his japa for many, many years. And still, you can sometimes. He has a blog called The Yellow Submarine, you can find. And he talks a lot about chanting japa. And I look at it sometimes. I haven't looked lately. But one time he wrote, he said that we Westerners, all South Africans are Westerners, by the way. we Westerners, we have the tendency, or to speak British. And very Western. So we Westerners. What was I going to say about Westerners? Satsarupa Maharaj. Yes, very good, thank you, Satsarupa. Okay, the Westerners, they have the tendency to analyze everything, and very analytical type of mind, inattentive chanting, this is one of the 10 offenses. Whereas, you know, the Indian villager, chalega, no problem, nobody. Everything is fine. He just chants. So since he's not getting mental about it, he just does it and just let it go. So Satsarupa Maharaj wrote, he said, today I'm going to chant in the mood of that Indian villager. And I kind of liked it. I thought, instead of like always stressing ourselves and chanting, let's just chant. Let's just do it. Let's just chant and maybe just relax for a chant. Actually, it's okay. It's not like, oh, I have to chant again. Morning time. Alarm. Oh no. The day has started. Oh God. Okay, well, first a shower. All right, shower. Shower's over. Okay, tea on. Drag it on a little longer. Oh God, no. Oh no. Still have to chant 16 endless rounds. Oh God, how am I going to get through to it? Not as fast as possible. Okay, doing good. So that's like anxiety, chanting in anxiety. Just chant. No anxiety. Just chant. Right? Oh God, I'm chanting. So it's like if one just chants in a peaceful state of mind, then not worry too much, but just do it. Don't count, but just You know, look, IF here beats, yeah, 16 here, 4 there, and I need them because I'm so stupid, I cannot count to 16. And I need these beats, I cannot count in my mind. I cannot count to 16. You believe that? Of course I can count in my mind. If I don't have counter beats, I can still do it. Chant my rounds and keep track in my mind of the rounds. Then why did they put these beats? You think that they couldn't count to 16?
Louder.
Yeah, that's another question and another answer. No, the point is that they put them so that we stop, that we count without consciously counting. See? We are all intelligent enough that we can count to 16 in our mind. And you know very well, I'm on the second round, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I'm on the third round, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I'm on the fifth, Hare Krishna. I'm on the sixth,
10, 6 more to go,
Hare Krishna. So we know it. No, but we have to get out of this, this counting mode. And just forget, just chant. And let the beats do the counting. Just pull one down. That's why they put them. Otherwise, like, we don't need them to count, we can count in the mind also. So we can see just the idea, just chant without this mood of counting. Peacefully chant. Yeah, these are some of the topics that lead ultimately to filling the heart. We have to fill the heart with service. We have to fill the gaps that between the service with mercy. We have to fill it with blessings. There's mercy we can go for ourselves, but the Vaishnavas left behind. Go everywhere and get mercy. And then, you know, if there's mercy, we can't even go and get, we just have to beg, you know. Beg for mercy. So, the gaps between the service are filled up with mercy. Then the heart is full. With blessings of the Vaishnavas. Then the heart fills up, you know, completely. Okay, your questions and then.
We're having a class, I think, and one of the people mentioned that even though we can't get material desire, like, we're always just looking for that to enjoy. And he said that it was more the process, the journey of getting there that's enjoyable rather than achieving something. Because when you achieve something, you're not satisfied with that. So he said that it's the journey. We shouldn't worry so much about the end. It's just more about going along with it.
In the material world, yeah. In the material world, it's the journey. Yeah, because in the material, you know. Sure, in the material world, well, first the journey is austerity, but when it looks like you're almost going to get there, then the journey gets really exciting, and hey, it gets good now. But, and then you get there, and then you have it for a little while, and then after a little while you don't care anymore about whatever you got. Honeymoon is over. But in the spiritual world, it's not like that. Get better and better and better. Just increasingly better. The journey gets better. In the beginning, the journey, well, they say, that in the beginning, spiritual life is like pushing a car up a hill. And then, you know, Shraddha, initial faith, association with devotees, Bhajana Kriya, regulated process, and then Anartha Nivritti, and finally get a little purified, then you get on top of the hill, Nista. And so after Nista, you push the car down the hill. Yeah. Then you get like ruchi, taste, hair, starts rolling, vroom, 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 you know, shakti, vroom, that's like,
You know, with Bob, you know. Praying, you know, you're not sure if you're on the hill or not.
Warren, when we struggle to give up attachments, is it? I guess it's because we don't want to give it up.
Yes.
So how can we want to give it up?
Well, you know, our business is not so much to try and give up all the attachments in the heart. It's more attachment to things that are not favorable for service to Krishna. We must at least give them up externally. Yeah. You have an example. Something that's really not so useful in the service of Krishna. All right. Let's say a certain musical instrument. Not to mention one particularly, but you know, said like, yeah, one is not really that good that it makes sense to that one can do something extremely useful for Krishna with it, and say, okay, well, adios, amigo. Goodbye, my friend. Then we give it up actively. In the heart, attachment may still be there. Don't worry about that. Just engage in service. Krishna will take away the other attachments. Just by giving us new attachments. And then all these other attachments begin to look bleak. But we have to give up the external activity. If it's not favorable for Krishna, that we can do. And we don't have to do constant psychoanalysis, put ourselves on the sofa, and lie down. And knock, 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 yes. Look, can I look inside? Oh no. No, please, please, let me just have a little. Okay. Oh my God. All these attachments are still there. Oh no, I'm so fall. Oh, Krishna. Yeah, we don't have to do that. We don't have to go on the sofa and knock on our heart. Yeah, forget it. That's the Krishna will do that. So Sarvadharma Pritya Yamanikam Sarvam Raja Antam Sarvam Pritya Moksha Sarvam Vasu Chaya translation.
Surrender to me. Abandon all varieties of religious processes processes and just surrender unto me. I will deliver you from all fears and anxiety.
Simple.
And simple actions.
Sin. Yeah, I will. Okay, Raj is a teacher. He's getting there. Yeah, abandon all varieties of activities or religion. Just surrender out to me. I will deliver you from the reactions of all your sinful activities. Do not fear. Oh, no worries. Yeah.
No worries.
She'll be right.
That's something like...
That's the same, it's true.
What about something like sleeping?
Sleeping?
I can put my guitar away, but I mean...
Oh,
I just sleep and then... No, this is not personal, but...
It's such a sinful thing you're doing still. Sleeping.
Well, like,
I'm very disappointed.
I find that if I chant fast enough in the mornings, if I finish by about 10 to... I get about 20 minutes sleep before greetings.
Confessions of the Bhakti Kumar. Well, Bhakti Murari, have you noticed that you're not the only one who is doing such things? Yeah, of course. No, it's a lot of devotees do that. They chin and they take a test that little nap, you know what I mean?
The 10 minute that becomes half an hour.
Power snap.
That's better to try and gradually put the sleep somewhere else and not at that time. Not so closely connected to the japa. Yeah, it's sort of a, but it's not the end of the world. We all sleep. We all have to sleep. Yeah. It's like, we're not the six Goswamis yet in what to do. It's like, that's why I'm thinking, I'm looking forward to a good night's sleep. I'm going to stay up all night and forget to sleep. That's the six Goswamis. We are the six Goswamis. We're following the footsteps, we're following the instructions of the six Goswamis. They were extraordinary. And eventually, it will get better. Try to sleep at other times, if possible. But sleeping is acceptable. If that's your only problem, then that's nothing worse. People have come over the rooms. Finished? Thanks a lot. Nice to see you all. Hope to see a lot of you the next few days. Here, there, and everywhere. Happy to come back. See you, Prabhupada.